It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful Monday. I am here. Rob is back. He was at Allen Fieldhouse on Friday's Kansas when a nail-biter against North Carolina. That was kind of the theme of the weekend. The Missouri Tigers, they won a nail-biter against the Oklahoma Sooners, and we'll get to the Chiefs here coming up in a bit. As the Chiefs have one of the most dramatic wins that they have had during the Patrick Mahomes era with a block field goal to keep them in the land of the unbeaten. We have so much to get into today. We have so much to get into over the course of the week. We are going to spend a majority of the day talking about the Denver Broncos. We have dug up some tweets. We have probably an hour of content that is just Broncos fans mad, upset, crying, all of those things about this individual game. So we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to get into. Congratulations to Kansas. They won in football this weekend. They won in basketball this weekend. Congratulations to Missouri. They won in football this weekend. They won in basketball this weekend. K-State, you guys had the time off. The Big 12 still feels wide open. It is an exciting time on the sports calendar. All right, we'll get to the Chiefs coming up in a bit. But before we do that, let's give you a chance to win a pizza.
Time on the Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7965. Caller number 6, Twins Up Pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tassio. Pizza Tassio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So, Carrington, whether having a big watch party, you want a whole pie, or just a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of things. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you're excited that the Chiefs are still undefeated and you also want some of the best pizza in town, you should keep it locked in right here on The Drive. I want to tell you guys a personal story and how I'm sure it relates to you as it certainly relates to me in my own life. I watched the game yesterday with the Broncos fan. My half-brother is a Broncos fan. I'm talking about through and through. Wore his Bo Nix jersey to the house yesterday, and he was excited. He genuinely believed that this time was going to be different. And through watching this, I got to see the game in a different light, and watching it through his eyes, I saw the full wave of emotion. I also saw the look of defeat and despair on his face at the end when he realized what we have realized for the last 3.5 years or so. The Chiefs are inevitable. The Chiefs have a pretty special and unique way of doing almost everything you're not supposed to do, and still it ended up being right. You are not supposed to get down double digits in games and routinely come back the way that the Chiefs do. Look at Patrick Mahomes' record in these instances. Look at every other team in the National Football League. About 80% of the time, if you get down double digits, you just quietly lose that game. You just don't have it today. When the Chiefs get down double digits, you run to your phone to place a live bet because you'll never get these odds to bet the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're never worried about them being in it or not keeping the game close. And you could feel it as the game progresses. Denver had a couple of chances to knock out the Kansas City Chiefs. They had the ball up 14-13 with a chance to go win the football game and create some distance between them and the Kansas City Chiefs. And you knew they weren't going to score in this scenario because no team in the last 3 years has scored against the Kansas City Chiefs in that scenario. You're not supposed to routinely win one-score games. The Chiefs this season are 7-0 in one-score games. They have won 13 straight one-score games. You're not supposed to do that. We call them coin flips for a reason. We call them 50-50 games. You flip a coin in the air. Half the time, it's supposed to land on heads. The other half, it's supposed to land on tails. It never lands on tails for the Kansas City Chiefs. It is always heads. It is always exactly what they call. There is a sense of inevitability about this team. I'm not here to give you the enjoy the ride speech. If you can't enjoy the fact that your team is the best team in the NFL and they've won two Super Bowls over the last two and they are en route to winning a third one, I don't really know how this open is going to change things for you. But what I want you to keep in mind is what you are watching is not just good. What you are watching is not just great. What you are watching is historic. And I imagine, like myself, you watch a lot of NFL. Big fan of it. You've gone to a lot of NFL games. You followed it for quite some time. The only team that you have watched in the last 25, 30 years that could do what the Chiefs are doing are the Tom Brady New England Patriots. They've had four, I would say, of these 50-50 games over the course of the season. Week one against the Baltimore Ravens. Last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Sunday's game against the Denver Broncos, and the game against the Cincinnati Bengals earlier in the year where a penalty was called on fourth down. It's an automatic first down. The Chiefs go down the field and score, and they go win the ball game. You can flip the coin four different times, and maybe this outcome is different or this outcome is different. Not when you play Kansas City. There is no team that we have seen. Not the Seattle Seahawks that went to back-to-back Super Bowls. Not any team that you have seen in the last 30 years that would be 4-0 in those games other than the Patriots and the Chiefs. So the conversation that we are having are not about Josh Allen, not about Joe Burrow, not about Ben Roethlisberger, not even about Peyton Manning. We are talking about the Chiefs are on a path that only one other franchise in the history of the National Football League have been on. So we're going to bounce back and forth all day. We're going to hear some of the radio calls. We're going to hear the television call again. We're going to hear some Denver Broncos post-game reactions, some mean tweets. We are going to celebrate a pretty incredible win yesterday by the Kansas City Chiefs. I saw a stat that teams that kick field goals that are less than 40 yards this season, they make 97.2% of those field goals. That is a scenario in which 97% of the time you are going home a loser. Not right now with the Kansas City Chiefs. I tweeted this out right after the game. Right now, it is just the Chiefs' time, and the rest of the NFL is going to have to learn to deal with it and just accept that the Chiefs are playing with it right now, and you'll get your chance when it's over. I do want to talk about this in the open before we get to some audio. We'll take your phone calls. Today is going to be a happy day on the drive. I don't want you guys to spend any amount of time arguing and debating with any other fan base about the officiating. Now, I still don't know the illegal contact. I don't know who it was on. It's still a little bit hazy to me. I won't lie to you there. That happened in the second quarter of the game. The Broncos had plenty of opportunities to win that game and didn't capitalize on any of those opportunities. If you are kicking a 35-yard field goal and that field goal gets blocked, not missed, not a bad hold, I mean, you didn't execute your left tackle, whatever you would call it in that scenario, if he ends up on his rump and the entire left side of the Chiefs' rush is in the backfield and they block the kick, I don't want to hear you blaming the officials. That is a you problem. You weren't good enough. You didn't execute. You should have been better. Try again next time. the Broncos had plenty of opportunities to steal this one away from the Kansas City Chiefs. And you know what, friends? They did not score in the second half of the game. So I don't want to hear it about the officials and Mahomes being caught on a hot mic. I don't want to hear any of that today. I don't care to hear it. You had your chances. You had your opportunities. You blew it. You had Kansas City on the ropes. You had Kansas City down, and you had an opportunity to take advantage. Denver had the ball up 14-13 with less than 4 minutes to go. They ran 8 plays. They got 10 yards, and they punted. They then got the ball back. Think about that. Rob, they had the ball with less than 4 minutes to go. They punted. They then forced the Chiefs to another punt. They then had the ball again. They had it again. They didn't score. Then the Chiefs happened. They won the game. I'm sorry. You lost. Be better next time. I do think that's a good Broncos team, and we'll talk about the AFC playoff picture as it is pretty clearly coming to focus over the course of the last 24 hours. But the story is not about the officiating. The story is not about what the Broncos didn't do. The story is about the Kansas City Chiefs and how you are in the middle of watching something that is one of the more special things that you can have happen in sports. I've told you guys, the greatest compliment that you can give any team is that they always figure out a way to win. We watch a lot of teams that always figure out a way to lose. There is only one team in the league right now that always figures out a way to win. The funniest story that we heard yesterday was from Mecole Hardman. And Mecole Hardman was telling a story of how he was talking to D-Hop on the sideline. And D-Hop came up to him and said, "Man, I think we're going to lose this one." And Mecole Hardman said he started laughing and said, "I've seen us win crazier games than this." And then the block happened. Everybody in that locker room that's been there, that's seen it, that's experienced it, knows that was commonplace what happened yesterday against the Denver Broncos. Again, it is just the Chiefs' time right now, and the rest of the league, they got to get in line until Patrick Mahomes and the rest of the Chiefs are done playing with it. Coming up on the other side, Rob, let's start hearing some of the post-game calls. Let's start hearing what some of the fans of the Denver Broncos have to say. We'll bounce back and forth. We'll also read your text, 913-586-7965. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Let me read this text really quick. C-Dot, the only negative thing you need to be discussing is what happened to Trent McDuffie and talk about the O-line. You know what? We will talk about the O-line. I'm not ready to talk about the offensive line. We will talk about the O-line at some point. I do want to keep one thing in order. Do you guys know how many yards Courtland Sutton had? Like, some of you gamble on these games. Some of you don't gamble on these games. You play fantasy football. Do you guys know how many yards Courtland Sutton had? Because I was reading Arrowhead Pride yesterday. And, you know, they do the winners and losers. It was like, oh, that was a very uncharacteristic day for Trent McDuffie. Why are we acting like Courtland Sutton had 145 yards and 3 touchdowns yesterday? Rob, you know how many yards Courtland Sutton had yesterday?
50?
He had 70 yards receiving. Why are we acting like this? Yes, Trent McDuffie was not an island yesterday. He had 70 yards receiving. Like, what are we doing here? Bo Nix threw for 215 yards. It was a normal NFL day. They scored 14 points as a team. I don't know why we're acting like this toward Trent McDuffie. I could see if he was out there getting cooked. He got beat on one route. All day, like, oh my goodness, what's wrong? Football happened yesterday to Trent McDuffie. Guys score sometimes in the league. I like Trent McDuffie as much as the next man. We're acting like he's Darrell Revis back in 07. Guys get beat sometime in the league. They didn't give up 100 yards receiving yesterday to anybody. The Broncos ran it 23 times and got 78 yards. The defense was fine yesterday. all phases of the Chiefs. Well, we can talk about the offense in a little bit, but I'm still staying positive here. They were fine for the most part yesterday. They won that game, continued, because their defense is fantastic, and they got incredible help from their special teams yesterday. So I'm not down on Trent McDuffie yesterday. I'm really not. I'm saying he had 70 yards receiving yesterday. We're acting like he was Ja'Marr Chase on Thursday Night Football yesterday. No, he's fine. Cortland Sutton had 5 more yards receiving than Kareem Hunt did yesterday. We're sitting here acting like guys were just out here getting whipped yesterday. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's very, very confusing. All right, this is what I like to do. We're going to bounce back and forth. So we're not going to spend all day doing this. We're going to take your phone calls. We're going to read some texts. We're going to take some phone calls. We're talking Chiefs here on a Red Monday. So I told Rob today that he only had one responsibility today. We don't need any guests. I don't need any help with anything. All I want you to do is keep your ear to what the Broncos are saying. I want you to keep an ear on the sports talk. I want you to go on Broncos TikTok. I want you to go on Broncos Facebook. I want you to find out what they are talking about and report it back to us. That's all I need you to do today. And Rob looked at me and said, I got you. I didn't see Rob for about 2 hours. Rob was missing in action. But he has us probably about 12 to 15 phone calls that we are going to play over the course of the day, just because I want you guys to get a feel. I want you guys to get an understanding the kind of pain and suffering that the Broncos fans are dealing with today. I saw a tweet yesterday that came across my timeline, and I wrote it down just because I wanted to read it to you in this moment. I want you guys to know how bad the Broncos are hurting today. This is from Andrew Mason. I've never seen a Broncos fan this devastated after a loss since maybe the double OT loss to the Ravens back in January of 2013. That was in the playoffs. That was the Torrey Smith game. That's the kind of devastation that the Chiefs leave these teams. They have playoff level hurt. It's week 10 of the regular season. They're devastated. You know that was a quiet flight home. Was it no laughs, no smiles, no chuckles? You can't even watch movies on your iPad when you lose like that. You just got to sit there and reflect, recollect about what you could do better. Before we hear the post game, and I want to play the post game, we got a lot of it to play. I have yet to hear the Broncos radio call. Now, I know Mitch was going crazy. I know he was screaming up a storm. I can't wait to see the video of it. Let's hear the other side of it, shall we? Let's not hear the winner's side. We know how the winners respond. Let's hear how the losers respond. Here's the Broncos radio call from the block field goal that now moves the Chiefs as they stay undefeated, and it moves the Broncos to 5-5.
Will Lutz backs up, takes two steps to the side, says he's ready. An attempt of 35 yards for the win. Snap, placement, kick on the way. It is blocked. I don't even know what to say. I really am at a loss for words. 35-yard field goal blocked with 1 second to go, and Kansas City is going to get out of here with a 16-14 win over the Broncos.
Hearts broken in Broncos country, no doubt. Broncos had it all set up for a chip shot field goal. Like somebody in the interior of that Chiefs line blocked that. They got good penetration.
Yeah, it looked like I couldn't tell if it was Carson Steele. Might have been George Karloftis, 56.
Well, that's a tough one right there.
They're saying Mike Dana, number 51, got it. Mahomes running around the field without a helmet. You know what? If I played for Kansas City, I would be too, because there's no way you thought that this was going to be anything but a loss as Denver lined up for a game-winning 35-yard field goal by Will Lutz. And it is blocked. And the Chiefs win it from Arrowhead, 16-14.
Rob, you can hear it in his voice. He was despondent. He was beside himself. Someone on the text line, C-Dot, I don't care about the Broncos' pain for all the trauma that Elway and Manning did it to me as a Chiefs fan. I think that's the beauty of all of this, if you're a Chiefs fan, is that you have seen, I would say, in a very short period of time, and it's basically been since Mahomes' second start against the Broncos, that you realized, you know what? All the pain that they had made you feel growing up, you finally had somebody that could put all of that back onto them. Maybe this is a poor analogy, and you guys can correct me, but I'm sure there was a time in which your big brother was better than you at something. Maybe he was a better golfer than you. Maybe he was a better basketball player than you, whatever it was. But your brother was better than you. And then at one moment, your athleticism got to a point or you got good enough in a game or whatever it is that you were finally able to beat that individual. And then you realize it's not a fluke anymore. I'm better than him now with these things. And you just took a certain level of joy in reminding him of all the times that he beat you and made you feel bad. And you, it finally paid off. That's what you finally get to experience now as a Chiefs fan to the Broncos. Elway used to terrorize you individuals. Peyton Manning terrorized you. I don't got to remind you about Thursday Night Football when you finally felt like you were going to beat the Broncos and then Jamal Charles put the ball on the turf. Terrorized you. You now get to do that to them. There is a 7-year-old right now in Denver. A 9-year-old in Denver that hates Patrick Mahomes the way that you hated John Elway and will hate Patrick Mahomes for the rest of his life. Not because he doesn't think that Patrick Mahomes is good. He certainly is good. He's going to hate him because of what he represents. He's going to hate him because he's never seen his team beat that quarterback. That your team's quarterback is the one that wins championships and has all the cool memories and has the parade. And they just now got a good quarterback for the first time in a decade. I want you guys to celebrate that. Today is not just about one individual win in week 10. It is about the continued dominance that you have over all these other peons in the National Football League. The Broncos really thought they had it. This was going to be different. They just drafted a quarterback, the coach. They were coming in here. This is a new and improved Denver Broncos team. It wasn't. It's the same Broncos team that the Chiefs have been slapping around since Patrick Mahomes was drafted. It's the same Broncos team that has just continued to fall short of the Chiefs every single time. Let's get you more Broncos postgame.
Guys, right now, this stuff is fake, bro. I am telling you guys right now, this stuff is fake, bro. This never happens. Never happens. It's fake. It's the Chiefs. It's scripted. I believe it 100%. Not joking. This is scripted, bro. This don't happen. It don't.
It do. It did. I know they're going through it. Some Broncos fan right now is having a terrible day at work. Your team did that to them. A terrible day at work. Awful day. Rob, can we read these texts really quickly? 913-586-7965. I can't believe that I'm the positive one about this, but you know what? Sometimes it's life's about changing roles. C-Dot, you guys moved the goalpost for Trent McDuffie. Someone else says, but he gave up, he meaning Trent McDuffie, gave up several crucial third down conversions. You're lying if you don't think that Cortland Sutton was out there cooking him. Trent McDuffie got cooked giving 70 yards to a bum receiver like Cortland Sutton is like giving up 180 to Justin Jefferson. I'm not saying that that was Trent McDuffie's best game. Not saying that at all. Not at all. It was not his best game. We've certainly seen him play better than that. Aren't we really comparing this to the incredibly high standard that Trent McDuffie has created over the course of the first 3 years of his career? Cortland Sutton had 70 yards receiving in this game. 70. 70. And we're acting like this was like, no. It wasn't that long ago. I remember that Jamar Chase was hitting the Chiefs up for 100 and something yards. I don't understand. The yards got to come from somewhere. They didn't run the football effectively. So, yeah, their number one wide receiver had a good day. Not a great day by any means. Nobody's winning their fantasy league because Cortland Sutton was on their team. He had 70 yards and a touchdown. That's an okay day. That's fine. It's all right. It's good. There's 12 other players in the league that had that day this weekend. Travis Kelce had a day like that. It was a fine day. I'm just not that down on Trent McDuffie today. I just think this is just a product of the Chiefs pretty routinely take guys away. And in this game, they just didn't 100% take away the other team's best offensive option. And now I think people are overreacting a little bit. Let me come to the defense of Trent McDuffie today. I think the criticism today is pretty harsh. There are certainly things to criticize the Chiefs on. Trent McDuffie, I don't think he makes my top five today.
So I agree with you. He's not top five. I would say left tackle is maybe 1 through 5, but we will get to that later in the show. But I'm like beyond puzzled reading the text line. McDuffie wasn't great, but outside of the one big chunk play where he missed the jam and the last play of the game where Sutton just beat him across his face to make the first down, it wasn't like Sutton was just an unstoppable, oh my goodness, watch out.
Not
Sutton
at all.
Sutton made two plays that people remember. He made two. Now, for all pro and a guy that you think is the top corner in the league, yeah, you don't usually give up two plays to Cortland Sutton. By the way, Cortland Sutton, much better than the text line gives him credit for. You know I love a good Cortland Sutton. If Cortland Sutton were a Chief, he'd be the second best receiver on the team. That's neither here nor there.
No, I ain't really saying nothing about the Chiefs receivers. I get the point you're making. I just, the Chiefs ain't got that many good receivers.
It just, this happens to corners in the league. I mean, even Revis in his prime got smoked by Moss. It happened. Like, no one is perfect every single solid day. I think maybe fans are holding him to an impossible standard.
Can I just give you just some really quick stats, and then we'll move off of Trent McDuffie? Because, again, I don't really have many complaints about Trent McDuffie. Do you know how many guys in the NFL had more receiving yards yesterday than Cortland Sutton did?
Probably a dozen.
19 guys in the league. Do you know how many receivers yesterday caught a touchdown yesterday? Just caught a touchdown yesterday. Do you know how many it was? It was 28. I'm not telling you that Trent McDuffie was locked down here. He was not locked down. I'm not here to overreact about 70 yards and a touchdown. That was a pretty standard day yesterday in the league. It just was. I'm sorry. It was not an overwhelmingly great day by any means yesterday. It was a fine day. That's what it was. Travis Kelce had 8 catches for 64 yards and a touchdown yesterday. It was a fine day from a good player. Cortland Sutton is a good player. That's who he is. He is a good player.
Fun fact. MVS had a better day than Cortland Sutton yesterday.
Oh, I don't know what happened to MVS before. Where was that at last year? I don't remember. I don't remember that happening really at any point.
You get him in a dome and suddenly Mr. Applebee's unstoppable.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on yesterday with him. I have absolutely no clue. Speaking of a good game, let's talk a little bit about Kareem Hunt yesterday, because Kareem Hunt, I think his day is going to go unnoticed. I don't think a lot of people are going to talk a lot about Kareem Hunt yesterday because it was probably the worst, I guess, statistical day that we have seen so far in a Chiefs uniform. But I think it is important to note this. You know, we love a good basketball analogy, so let's make our first basketball analogy of the week. Yeah, the jumper wasn't falling yesterday. He had 14 carries for 35 yards yesterday. But you know what? He found a way to help you in a different way that wasn't just getting 3 yards in a cloud of dust. The run game was not super effective yesterday for the Chiefs. The Chiefs ran the ball 16 times with their running backs and got 38 yards for it. So they were not effective in the run game. They threw it 42 times yesterday and ran it 19 times. They were not very effective on the line of scrimmage yesterday. Kareem Hunt led them in receiving yards. This is a team that has Travis Kelce, who's been hot of late. This is a team that has DeAndre Hopkins. You even think of Samaje Perine as being more of their pass-catching option out of the backfield. And Kareem Hunt had 7 catches for 65 yards. If you add up the rushing yards and the receiving yards, he touched the ball 21 times and had 100 yards. I'll take that from Kareem Hunt. I'll take that from any running back in the league. So I think yesterday was a typical Kareem Hunt day even if it wasn't your expected Kareem Hunt day. Usually he gets the ball 21 times and he'll get 75 yards rushing, you know, help out a little bit here. But I think you got to give this offense a lot of credit for, hey, his best usage is not going to be us continuing to run straight forward and getting 2 and 3 yards a pop. How do we get him the ball out in space? How do we use him? Kareem Hunt got 10 targets yesterday. So he was heavily involved in their offense, even though it was a different way of doing it. So I give Kareem Hunt a lot of credit. To finish up the basketball analogy, man, there's other ways that you can help your team other than by just shooting threes all day. You can rebound. You can get a block. You can get a steal. Set good screens. Like, there's other things that you can do. Kareem Hunt helped this team yesterday, even if he wasn't controlling the line of scrimmage with the run game, the way that we've seen him do so far in his first 4 or 5 starts.
You're right. It was finding a way to help the team win. That's a positive about Trent McDuffie. I do think another thing about Kareem Hunt, we need to keep in mind, the Broncos defense is good. The Broncos game plan was pretty much force the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes to dink, dunk, and beat us. And that's why Kareem Hunt had the high targets. That's why he had those high receptions and the high receiving yards. Yeah, I mean, that was clearly the Broncos' game plan. We're not going to let him beat us on the ground. He didn't. And we're not going to let them beat us over the top with Hopkins and Worthy. They didn't. The Broncos said, beat us on 4-yard passes. And that's where Kareem Hunt is really good. He was a great pass catcher in 2017, 2018. I don't think he's that anymore. But if you give him, similar to how he runs the ball, catch it, we need to get us 3 yards. He will get you 3 yards. He can make a man miss. He can run through a dude and get you enough yards to make a play. It does make me think that the Chiefs need Pacheco back for the ground game sooner rather than later. And I know that Reed today said during his press availability that they're all, he being Pacheco and Juju are both progressing nicely, but his run game or inability to run, despite being still effective in the air, did concern me for the future of the Chiefs this season and did make me think, hey, they need a burst back there. They can't just keep running Kareem Hunt forever.
Yeah, I just think it was one of those games where the Broncos defense, they really locked in yesterday. So I don't really take a whole lot away from that. I think you knew that just nobody in the league just gets 75, 80 yards every single week. I think you were expecting at some point a down game in that regard. But again, he showed you a different way to help the Chiefs. He helped them win yesterday. I think Kareem deserves a lot of credit for how he played. Rob, I would like to play one thing for you before we get out of here. I don't want to get too deep in the show and remind people of this. So you know the game we play when you're here, but you left us on Friday because you had other things to do, like go to basketball games when I was at work here slaving over a hot microphone. You know how we play the quarterback to quarterback game, right? So we played from Peyton Manning, his last start, to Bo Nix, right? It was a long time. There was a handful of quarterbacks that were in the middle. So, Rob, we played this the first time. Didn't go well. We then played it in the 5 o'clock hour or 4 o'clock hour, late in the 4 o'clock hour, because usually this is when we get our best calls, right? This is when people are, you know, they're getting off work, and this is normally when things go good. You have not heard this yet, Rob. I haven't even told you this story. Let me tell you of how Manning to Nix went on Friday. Nate, this is the rules of the game.
Okay.
I have written down every quarterback that has started for the Broncos since Peyton Manning's last start up until Bo Nix's first start. I'm going to give Justin 30 seconds. I'm going to give him 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Name as many of them as he can. Drew, on the midday show, the producer, we also recorded his answer.
Okay.
If Justin ties or does better than Drew, we'll give him the pizza.
I mean, anybody can do that, right?
we would hope. George did not earlier today. Or if you do worse than Drew, you don't get the pizza and we give it to somebody on the text line. That is the way that this goes. All right, Justin, do you understand the rules to the game?
I understand the rules.
Let's go.
We're going to give you a clock. It's going to be 30 seconds. You'll hear a buzzer. Name as many Broncos starting quarterbacks since Peyton Manning that you can. All right, on your mark, get set, go.
You know what? I can't think of anything right now. I am so sorry.
Justin, who was our starting quarterback last year?
I don't know. Drew's going to beat me. I apologize.
I don't need to play anymore.
What?
That happened with two separate callers.
This is an in-division opponent. We didn't say, hey, how many people from the Navy Army game can you name? This was Broncos starting quarterbacks.
You see what happens when you're not gone, Rob?
Maybe you forget Kendall Hinton, but you can't remember Russell Wilson?
That's not the purpose of this. I'm not blaming the callers. I'm not blaming the texters. I'm not blaming Quentin for filling in your absence while you use your PTO to go do personal things. This is your fault. You left your post. You left your command. Friday was a work day, and you just used it to just go out all willy-nilly. And for what, a basketball game, a regular season basketball game? Game wasn't even that good.
You want to talk about the game? We can talk about the game. I enjoyed the game.
It wasn't even that good of a game.
Top 10 clash?
So I'm not mad at anybody. You know what? Just for that, we're going to give that pizza away right now during the break because we're going to make Rob work for the work that he didn't do on Friday when he left us high and dry. 913-586-7965. Caller number 6. We're going to make Rob give away a pizza and do some work in the commercial break. Just a drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, Rob, we will talk a little bit about the KU basketball game here. I watch just about every dribble. You know how it is. Game starts at 6. I can't instantly get home. I just can't teleport home. So I didn't get a chance to watch every single dribble, but I watched a great majority of the game on Friday night. I have two major takeaways. Do you want my positive takeaway or the negative takeaway that I have first?
Let's get the negative out the way. Let's start negative and build up to positive.
Hunter Dickinson cannot guard anybody. Like, nobody. That's a team that has no size. It was pretty clear what they were trying to do and how they were taking advantage of Hunter Dickinson. It's also very clear, like, when they kind of got back into it, who they were targeting on KU's defense. They were running him in pick and roll all night. That was a problem last year. Is KU going to have to take Hunter off the floor in some of their critical moments because he is barbecue chicken out there? The second thing, and this is the positive thing that I noticed, they just got way more dogs this year. They just have more guys that can score this year than they did last year. It was kind of like Bill Self looked at his team, realized how flawed they were, and just said, I will never find myself in this position again. They can overcome an injury to almost every single player that they have. Even DeJuan Harris. If they lose DeJuan Harris for a couple of weeks, they'll be fine. They could lose KJ Adams for a couple of weeks. They're fine. They have done a phenomenal job in a short period of time of really building up their depth. That's a really, really good, well-balanced team that you would imagine is going to get better defensively as the year progresses. But I was trying to think as I was watching it, is there a team where their best player is also maybe their weakest defensive player? Because that is certainly the case with this KU team. Hunter Dickinson, he is barbecue chicken on the pick and roll.
I mean, we were sitting there, me and the people I share season tickets with, and I literally said, it's like a flashback to the Gonzaga game last year. Pick and roll, either they get him one-on-one and they cook him, or he just so slow in rotations that it's a free bucket wherever. But, and the five-star freshman, Flory Badunga, wasn't great, but they are basically 10 deep if they want to be 10 deep. Mm-hmm. Like, Zeke Mayo was really impressive in the game. Zeke Mayo doesn't start. A.J. Storr was an All-American in the Big Ten last year. He didn't start. Ryland Griffin was really good, played on a Bama team that went to the Final Four. He wasn't very good on Friday night, but he's still on the team. Like, you know how we talked about last year, like, asking people to do what they need to do? DeJuan Harris last year got asked to score, and that's a losing proposition. But, yeah. He might not need to take a shot this year, and they'll be fine to win games. It is both a gift and a curse, the portal. It's bad for the sport that a school like Kansas can just basically add 4 free agents and change their roster 1 year. That's not great for continuity and all the things we talked about the sport. But as a Kansas fan, they went from a 4 seed to a team where you like, it's hard to imagine them not having a 1 next to their name in March. That team is deep.
Yeah, no, they absolutely are. You're right. The Mayo kid, he comes off the bench. He's 7 of 14. He scores 21 points. Like, if you're going to be in a position where KU's leading scorer comes off the bench in the game, you're not beating that team on most nights. And I would say that the DeJuan Harris that you saw on Friday night, That's the one that they need. He was 5 of 8 from the field. He didn't take a three. He had 10 points, and he had 2 assists. He got a couple of steals. He did a little bit of everything for KU on Friday. And when they really needed to late, they got stops, and they staved off. That was a pretty fun and entertaining North Carolina team that's certainly going to beat a lot of people. And we've seen that building really gobble up and swallow up a lot of teams. The fact that they were able to really ride the storm and play Kansas pretty even for the final 30 minutes of the game is something that North Carolina should take away and feel encouraged about. We'll get to the AFC playoff picture coming up in just a bit. We talked a little college basketball. Let's get to the gridiron. Let's give out our helmet stickers for the weekend. The first one I'm going to give my helmet sticker to, I'm going to give it to Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe, who keeps Alabama in the college football playoff conversation. That was a playoff game on Saturday down in Death Valley. Alabama has 2 losses and LSU has 2 losses. The loser of that was out of it. They were not going to have an opportunity. He was phenomenal. 12 carries, 185 yards, scored 4 touchdowns. He is not alive in the Heisman conversation anymore, but Jalen Milroe has been one of the more productive quarterbacks in the National Football League. He's also a pretty interesting NFL prospect. I don't think he's going to be selected pretty high in the draft, but if you're telling me that your team spends a mid-round pick on Jalen Milroe as like a change-of-pace quarterback or to come in if an injury happens, I think he's going to be an intriguing prospect. I'm going to give Jalen Milroe one of my helmet stickers for keeping Alabama's playoff dreams alive.
I don't think he won the Heisman, but a little fun note, he went from 50-1 to start Saturday to 16-1 to end Saturday. Like that's, I don't think he's going to win, but that's a monumental jump by Jalen Milroe.
I don't even think he's a finalist this year.
It depends on what you think about Cam Ward. That's what it's going to come down to, who was really bad on Saturday. I'm getting my first helmet sticker. Speaking of the Kansas Jayhawks, Devin Neal gets my first helmet sticker.
Great game for him.
Greatest running back in Kansas football history, full stop. He broke the touchdown record on Saturday. He broke the all-time rushing yards record on Saturday. The kid from Lawrence will go down as one of the best to ever do it in the history of the program. And wherever they're putting names, numbers, jerseys to that new stadium, his will be up there. And you mentioned Saturday. It wasn't just the all-time records, which is great for him. Saturday, he was awesome. And one of the key cogs to their upset victory over the Cyclones. 18 carries for 116 and 2 touchdowns. Quick math for you. I know you're a big yards per carry guy.
Love it.
6.4 yards per carry from Devin Neal. Real deal Devin Neal. The Lawrence Knave is now the greatest running back in Kansas football history. Congrats to him. Friend of the show, Devin Neal.
Are you excited, hopeful about KU's ability to pull the upset off on the road? They go to BYU this weekend.
Not optimistic, but I feel better about the team than I did 2 weeks ago. It has a lot of the same markings as the Iowa State game, like trap game. It has the 3.5-point line, often emotional game for the opposing team, maybe a little bit of a letdown factor. It has a lot of markings of something that could happen, but you can't trust this Kansas team on the road.
You know what? I'm going to give my helmet sticker to a team. I gave the first one to Jalen Milroe and keeping his team's playoff chances alive. I'm going to give the next helmet sticker to Indiana. I believe that Indiana has punched the first ticket towards the college football playoff. Indiana has 2 games remaining on the season. They go on the road to play Ohio State. They also have a home game against Purdue. Purdue is the worst team in the Big Ten. They are 0-6. They are 1-8 overall. If Indiana does not get blown out by Ohio State, I don't think there's any reason to think that they are going to get blown out in Columbus. I think Indiana has to be included in the college football playoff. They have clearly, in my opinion, been the third best team in the Big Ten. I think Oregon's better than them. I think Ohio State is better than them. And then I think it's Indiana. If you think that's a 4, maybe a 5 bid league, you can't come up with 4 or 5 teams that are not Indiana. So congratulations. One of the best turnarounds that we have seen in recent memory in college football. I'm going to give my helmet sticker to Indiana. I think they punched their way to the playoff.
I mean, credit to Indiana. Did you see Sherrone Moore's clock management at the end of that game? Just abysmal. He called timeout late into the play clock, which basically lit Indiana kneeling out. That was bad. I'm going to give my final helmet sticker to Haynes King. He is the quarterback at Georgia Tech, and he wasn't doing much quarterbacking on Saturday when he ran for 20 carries for 93 yards and a touchdown, but his performance for Georgia Tech was the key to their massive upset victory over the U. You talk about the Big Ten being a 4-5 bid league. The ACC is suddenly on very shaky ground to get more than just one.
The U looked bad against Georgia Tech and Haynes King on Saturday.
They've been dancing with the devil for quite some time now. Eventually, you get burned, and that's exactly what we saw happen to Miami. They should have lost to Virginia Tech earlier this year. They should have lost to Cal earlier this year, and they eventually went on the road and got bit by a team that I think has been pretty scrappy this year in Georgia Tech.
Salty. They're a salty bunch.
You know who Georgia Tech is? They are the Vanderbilt of the ACC. Vanderbilt is not a great team by any means, but we've seen Vanderbilt stand in the middle of the ring and knock out some heavyweights so far this year. I think the Georgia Tech has given you a lot of those same feelings in the ACC. All right, coming up on the other side, let's get back to the NFL. Let's talk about the playoff picture in the AFC, because after the Chiefs and Broncos, I think it has become incredibly clear. We'll get to it. Keep it right here. So drive. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.